Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Yud Ches, where you will notice a double underlined Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Bar Avua. The double underlining is one of our series markings. We find ourselves in the middle of a discussion that we started at the end of our previous shiur. The general topic has to do with what are the circumstances under which a person can become chayev in bringing an oshem toloi. We saw Rav quoted as saying that one will be chayev in oshem toloi only when the issue of doubt concerns two pieces of whatever, one having been forbidden, the other being allowed. A person ate one of them or violated one of them, but doesn't know which one he violated. However, a doubt concerning one piece whose status is simply unknown, that will not generate, according to the approach Rav takes in this Gemara, that will not generate a need for an Oshem Toloi. We started a series featuring a double underline and bow ties where different Amoroim presented their version, or presented Rav, and under each one of these presentations we featured a diamond which has an Amora asking what is the reason for Rav. So far we've seen two of the three explanations as to the reason for Rav is, and under each explanation the Gemara was asking what is the difference between this explanation and the previous one. So now we're up to the third explanation of why Rav says you need to have two pieces of whatever in order to create the circumstances of the doubt. And this is brought by Rav Nachman. So we start our Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Baravu, Omar Rav. Hoyu lefonov, shtei chatichos. There was in front of a person two pieces. Achas shel chelev, achas shel shuman. One of chelev, which is a forbidden substance found in animals, which carries with it a kores penalty if done deliberately, and shuman is permissible material. V'ochal achas man v'ni yodea ezim hem ochal, and he ate one of them and he doesn't know which one he ate. Chayov, he will then be obligated to bring an osham tolui. That's the korban that one brings when he is in doubt as to whether he violated a penalty that carries with it a korban chatos if one knows that he violated it, but unwittingly. So in the case of if one is in doubt whether he violated the prohibition, then he brings an osham tolui. However, chaticha, sofek shel chelev, sofek shel shuman, the achla potter. If there was one piece and there was doubt what the identity of that one piece was, whether it was shuman or chelev, and he then ate it, he will be exempt. Omar Rav Nachman, my taima de Rav, what is the basis of Rav's opinion? So up till now, we've seen two explanations. We're now about to learn the third. The first opinion based Rav on a pasuk where it said mitzvos. Mitzvos is a term in the plural, so that you would need to have two pieces. The second reason that we saw was based on Efsher Levarer Isuro, where I could, if I have one piece that remains, I could identify that as a potential of identifying what it is. So that only when you have the situation where it's Efsher Levarer Isuro do we say bring the Asham Toli. Now, Rav Nachman asks, what is the reason for Rav? So he says, Kosova Shtei Chatichos Ikba Isuro. In the case of two pieces, where one was definitely forbidden, so that establishes that the Isur, the prohibition, was definitely there. Now the only doubt is whether I ate it or not. But there was a definite prohibition or prohibited item there. However, Chaticha Achas, if there's only one piece, Lo Kova Isura. You don't have that situation of the Isur having definitely been there. Now the Gemara asks, what is the difference between Rav Nachman's explanation and those explanations that we saw before? Ma'ika Bein, now this crown marking we've been using since our last shiur, so that this is the, we've already seen this before, this is the highlight point of the difference between the whatever previous explanation was given. So here the Gemara asks, Ma'ika Bein Ikba Isura, what's the difference between Rav Nachman's explanation of the prohibition have being established as definitely there, L'she'i Efsher Levarer Isure, as opposed to Rabbi Zeira's approach, which was, if you have only one piece, then you won't be able to determine whether that which remains is forbidden or not. In other words, Rabbi Zeira emphasized the two pieces to establish the circumstances under which an Asham Tola be brought, was because that enables me to determine what actually took place. You have the potential of determining if an Avera took place or not. So what's the difference between these two approaches? Iko binayu kigon shehoyu lefonav shtei chatichos, achas shel chelev veachas shel shuman, ubo oyved koychavim veochal es harishona, ubo yisroel veochal es hashnia. So what is this case? There were two pieces in front of him. One was chelev, which is forbidden. The other was shuman, which is allowed. And a Gentile came, an idol worshipper came, and ate the first piece. Ubo Yisrael, and the Jew came and ate the second piece. Now, even though the Gemara asked its question, what's the difference between Rav Nachman and Rabbi Zeira, here the Gemara goes over all three reasons that we've seen. So, L'rabo leka mitzvos be'idna de'ochal Yisrael. When the Jew ate his piece, there wasn't two pieces any longer. So you wouldn't be obligated, according to Rabbah's approach in this case, to bring an Asham Tolui. Because we're emphasizing here the order of events. First, the idol worshipper ate the first piece. When the Jew came to do the potential sin, he didn't leave anything over. There was nothing left, and let's backtrack. When the Jew came to eat, there was only one piece left, so that you don't have the mitzvos element, which was from the pasuk, which told us that you have to have two pieces. The Rebbe Zeira, E. F. Shur Levarer Isure. According to Rebbe Zeira, under these circumstances, there won't be an Asham Tolui, because there is nothing left after the Jew eats his piece with which we can determine what took place. He ate the last piece. The Rav Nachman, however, according to Rav Nachman, Ikba Isura. The Jew was eating a piece of something where at the outset the Isser had definitely been there. So that at the outset there was Isser. Rashi mentions on the second line from the top, Ikba Isura Me'ikora. Me'ikora means at the outset. Before the Jew ate his piece, and before the idol worshipper ate, we were in a circumstance where there was definitely something prohibited there. So, as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, there are sufficient circumstances for the bringing of an Asham Tolui. We now have a triangle, a series of triangles, but these two were used in our previous shiur. The same sources are raised as questions as we did in each of the two preceding approaches to the reasons given. So the Gemara asks, Eisvei Rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava raises an objection. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Koi Chayovin al Chelbo Asham Tolui. Here's a case where there is an Asham Tolui requirement. This is if a person ate the chelev of a koi. A koi is an animal whose identity as being a chaya or behema is in doubt. The chelev of a chaya is allowed. The chelev of a behema is forbidden. A person ate the chelev of this doubt animal. This koi, koi is the name of the creature. And it says here he has to bring an asham tolui. Now, here we don't, we see an asham tolui brought even though there wasn't, as Rav Nachman says, ikba isura, there wasn't a definite isser here at the outset, and yet we do bring an asham tolui. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Eliezer lo boi kviusa li isura. Rabbi Eliezer will say there is an asham tolui requirement, even though there wasn't the establishing of the isser at the outset. Well, point is that that's a shitas yachid, that's the opinion of the sole opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, but Rav Nachman was explaining Rav in light of other Tanoim that do have the requirement of ikba isur meikara. Eisvei sofek ben tisha l'rishon o ben shiva l'achron. This was the case that we discussed last time of a Yavama who didn't wait 3 months before she married the Yavam. So, if she was pregnant with a child from the first husband, then she should not be doing Yibum whatsoever. And if she does Yibum under forbidden circumstances, Yibum is the marriage between a brother-in-law and sister-in-law when the original husband died leaving no children. So the widow marries her deceased husband's brother. And now if she is doing so under forbidden circumstances, that would be chayav a chatos. Now there is doubt whether she was allowed to enter this marriage, because we see 7 months after her marriage to the brother-in-law, when she had not waited 3 months before marrying him, between the death of her husband and the marriage to the brother-in-law, so there is a doubt whether this child born after 7 months is a 9-month pregnancy as a result of the first husband, which would then make her usher to this to the brother-in-law, or it's a 7-month pregnancy resulting from her Yibum. What's of importance to us is that you don't have a definite Isur at the outset in this case, and yet she does bring it. There is the bringing of an Asham Tolui. The Gemara answers, Ha Mani, Rabbi Eliezer, this unnamed source is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer, who doesn't require Nikba Isura Meikora. Eisvei, this is a source, once again, the same source we saw in the previous two series of questions. A couple is having intimacy, and when they have intimacy, they just following it, they use a checking cloth. It's a piece of white material that would reveal if there was any blood present at the time of the intimacy, which would make the wife a nida, and hence it's a forbidden act of relations. So the source says, Nimtso al shelo tameim. If the man finds blood on his checking cloth, then they are both ritually impure, v'chayovin b'korban, and they'll have to bring a sacrifice, a korban chatos, because of an unintended relation or intimacy while she was in a state of nida. The man doesn't release blood. The blood could have come only from her. So if the man finds on his checking cloth the blood, that indicates that she, the wife, was a nida. Nimso al shelo asyum tamein v'chayovim b'korban. If she finds on her checking cloth, asyum means immediately after the intimacy. So the blood was there at the time of the intimacy. Hence, they are both chayov in a korban. Nimso al shelo li'achar zman. If she finds on a checking cloth some blood, but after having paused, a very brief pause, between the completion of the intimacy and her checking, if there's a gap in time, the Gemara in Nida, Maseches Nida, deals with what exactly is that gap, but it's a very short, but it is a gap in time, then the blood may have started flowing from her after the act of intimacy. It's not clear. So there is no chiyuv korban chatos v'tani Allah v'chayoven v'korban v'osham toluy. However, it is taught that they are chayav in the korban osham toluy, which is brought when you have a case of doubt. Now, once again, here we have a question. We don't have any. We don't have a definitive iser present in this case, and yet there is the bringing of an osham toluy ishtik. So, upon hearing this, so Rav Nachman didn't have a response. He remained silent. Labosur Dinofak, after Rava, who was raising these questions, after he departed, Omar, so Rav Nachman said, "My time alo Amri Le, why didn't I answer him? The Hamani Rebbe Meir he, the Loboik Vizoli Surah. I had a pretty simple answer I could have given and said, well, this source with the Nida and the checking cloth is in accordance with Rebbe Meir that doesn't require the prohibition having been established at the outset. Disanya, and we have a Tanaic source that shows that Rebbe Meir is stringent in not requiring an Osham Toluy, and a Kvius Isur at the outset. The Sanya, the source talks about the issue of slaughtering sacrifices, korbanos, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Shechitas Chutz. That is a serious offense. It carries with it a koreis penalty, and if done unintended, so it would be Chayav HaChatos. And now this source features the slaughtering of a very specific sacrifice, HaShochet Osham Tolui Bachutz. If someone sacrificed an Osham Toluy outside the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Meir Mechayiv v'chachomim potrim. Rabbi Meir holds that the person has violated the prohibition of Shechitas Chutz and is obligated to bring a Korban Chatos. The Chachomim exempt from a Korban Chatos. Now, why does Rabbi Meir say Chayiv a Korban Chatos? So that even though there is a possibility that he didn't eat the Chalev, that he didn't violate whatever it was that causes the Osham Toluy to be brought, so that even though maybe he didn't do the violation in the first place, and that this Osham is really considered chulin, it's not a necessary thing to be brought. In other words, on the side that he didn't violate whatever the violation was, he wouldn't have to bring this. So there's a possibility that this is an unnecessary sacrifice. And yet, Rabbi Meir says that he is considered in violation of Shechitas Chutz. So what do we see? We see that you don't need to have Kvivsa, the Surah at the outset, in order to be Chayev. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says, and that's why Rabbi Meir is cited as an opinion holding that you'll be Chayev to bring a korban because of a doubt, even though there was no establishing of the doubt at the outset. So, as far as the questions that were raised against Rav Nachman's explanation, we see how he successfully is able to deflect each one of those questions. The Gemara here asks a technical question regarding the last source with the checking cloth. Rav Nachman said, you know, I could have answered that it is in accordance with Rabbi Meir that doesn't require Kvi'usa Lisura. Did we not say just a few moments before that was the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer? Why does Rav Nachman say I could have answered that the Nida source was dealing with, was in the name of Rabbi Meir? He could have said, well, that's according to Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara asks, Vamai, why did Rav Nachman answer that the Nida source was in accordance with Rabbi Meir? Le mole de Rabbi Eliezer. He could have said that it is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer, like we said on the two previous occasions. The first two triangled questions were answered by saying that that those sources that don't require kvius isur at the outset is Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara answers, Hokam Ashmalon, the fact that Rav Nachman cited Rabbi Meir, Rav Nachman informs us that Rabbi Meir Beshitas Rabbi Eliezer Koi, that Rabbi Meir subscribes to the approach of Rabbi Eliezer. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav Abar Avu Omar Rav, Chaticha Sofek Shel Chelev Sofek Shel Shuman, the Ochla, one piece whose identity is not clear, whether it's Shuman or it's Chelev, Banu Lemachlokis Rabbi Eliezer Rechachomim. We have reached a case that would be the controversy, subject of controversy between Rabbi Eliezer, who would say that one will bring an Asham Toluy, and the Chachomim, who would say no. The Gemara asks, Le Rabbi Eliezer, if you're citing Rabbi Eliezer already, my ir yokiochlo, why do you have to speak about a case where the person ate the piece of Safek? Afilu lo ochlo nami. Even without actual eating, as far as the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, is concerned, there is a possibility of bringing an Asham Toluy. The Hotnan, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Misnadev Odom Asham Toluy B'chol Yom. A person can voluntarily bring an Asham Toluy every day. So why in presenting this does Rav Nachman, Rabbi Avua, in the name of Rav, say that he ate that doubt piece, even without eating it? Rabbi Eliezer would have said you could bring an Asham Toluy. The Gemara answers, Omar Ravashi, that which we require a little bit of Iser at the outset, Rabbi Eliezer Aliba de Bavo Ben Buta, this is a Rabbi Eliezer citing the opinion without actually mentioning his name, but it's Rabbi Eliezer in the spirit of the approach of Bavo Ben Buta. Disnan, with regard to the issue of Asham Toluy, it's taught Ela Oimrim Lo, we tell a person who wants to bring an Asham Toluy, Hamtain, wait, Ash Tikones Lebeis Safek, until you actually encounter a situation of doubt. In other words, a situation where an actual circumstances take place that raises doubt. This is elaborated on in Rashi. If you notice Rashi, Omar Ravashi, Hai Deboinon Mixas Isura Le Rabbi Eliezer, that which Rabbi Eliezer would require a little bit of actual prohibition, Aliba Debovim Ben Buto Ko Omar, Di Omar LeKamon Beperek Basra, Shemevi Oshem Tolu B'chol Yom, Chutzmi Motso Yom Kippurim. Bava Ben Buto would bring an Oshem Tolu every day, except for the right after Yom Kippur. Omar, he declared, if my colleagues would leave me alone, I would bring an Asham Toluy even on the passing of Yom Kippur, the night after Yom Kippur. Ela Oimrim Li, but my colleagues tell me, Hamtein Ad Shetikones Lebeis HaSafek. Wait until you enter an issue of doubt. Klomar, Hamtein Ad Lemochar. Wait until tomorrow. Sheesh Mixas Safek. When there will be a bit of doubt. Shemo Chatos Chotosa Hayom. Maybe you sinned today. Avomotso Yom Kippurim, but the moments right after Yom Kippur ain't Lochush Bekach. There's no doubt. The Hakiper Olav Yom Kippurim Asfeko. Yom Kippur atones for doubts. People who had been obligated to bring an Asham Toluy and they celebrated Yom Kippur, so with the passage of Yom Kippur, that erases, that eradicates their need to bring an Asham Toluy. And according to this approach, that Yom Kippur atones for the people that need to bring an Asham Toluy, according to this approach, we require, in other words, we wouldn't want someone bringing an Asham Toluy, which is a sacrifice brought to atone for doubt, when you have a situation of absolutely no doubt. And that's the case right after Yom Kippur. So according to this approach, we have this need for a miksas sofik, kegon chaticha achas, one piece, even though it's one piece. Afilu Rabbi Lezer, even according to Rabbi Lezer, says in general you don't need any actual sofik pieces to create a need or to justify the bringing of an oshem tolui. Avrabonan de pligi yad Rabbi Lezer perak master the amri aim vi oshem tolui al dover shes dono koreis vimaisi havimach neschul nazora. Hochanami patri, the dafka boinon shtei chatichos ki de karinon mitzvos. All of that which we're saying now is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer, but according to the Chachamim, you wouldn't be allowed to bring an osham tolui at all unless you had an initial situation of doubt where there were two pieces, and if one brought an osham tolui otherwise, even without that, he would be guilty of bringing chulin la'azora, something that's not, it was unjustifiably brought into the Azora. The Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbanan. Before we read any further, we have a topic heading in the outside margin that we label the Nosei. Braisa, there is a Tanaic source in Mikrim Shonim with different cases. Soviv ha dehoyu lefonav shnei chatichos, circumstances or cases that have in common the issue of two pieces at the outset, achas shel chelev v'achas shel shuman, one of chelev, which is forbidden material, and the other shuman, allowed material. Bahemshech, haGemara tevarer money. Later, the Gemara will investigate who is the author of this unnamed source. You'll see the Gemara asking this question, the second line from the bottom, as the line juts out right after the source itself. Me lo meanly made, Bryce says, who taught over, who taught this source? In other words, who's the author of this Tanaic source? So now the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, hoyu lefonav shtei chatichos. A person was in front of two pieces. Achas shel shuman v'achas shel chelev. One being of shuman, permitted substance, and the other of chelev, forbidden substance. There will be a number of cases featured in this source. Bo Yisrael, ve'ochal eso rishoyno, a Jew came and ate the first of two pieces, leaving over a piece. Ubo oive kechon v'ochas ha'shniya, chayav, and an idol worshiper came and ate the second piece. The Jew will be obligated to bring an osham toloi. V'chein kelev, v'chein oirev. And similarly, the case would be that instead of an idol worshiper eating the second piece, a dog or a bird ate the second piece. Another case. Here, the idol worshiper ate the first piece. And the Jew came and ate the second piece. Potter, the first opinion on this particular second case, holds that the Jew will be exempt from bringing an osham toloi. The Rebbe Mechayev. According to Rebbe, though, he is obligated to bring the Osham Toloi. Now let's just go over these two shittas again. According to the first opinion, we labeled here Aleph, and which is by the word Potter, Rashi says, the Lekos Shtei Chatichos, when the Jew violates and eats this piece of doubt, the Gentile had already eaten the first piece. So the Jew is eating, is doing the sin, or the possible sin, when there's only one piece in front of him. And Rebbe is Mechayev. Rebbe doesn't require to have two pieces in order to generate the Osham Toli requirement. Another case. Ochal es harishoina b'shoigeg v'ashnia b'meizid. He ate the first piece in a state of in an unintended state. In other words, he did it unknowingly. And the second piece, when he ate the second piece, he knew that he was eating something of doubt. Chayov, he will be obligated to bring an osham tolui for having eaten the first piece. What's the point? In eating the first piece, it was done unintended, and it was one of two pieces. However, Harishona b'meizid v'ashniya b'shogeg. If he ate he had in front of him two pieces, and he knew that there was a doubt over here, and he ate the first one, knowing that there was doubt, that's mazed. He ate it knowingly. Knowing what? That there was an element of doubt. So doing sins in a knowing fashion, one does not bring a sacrifice of atonement. So when he ate the second piece, Bishogeg, there was only one piece in front of him. So at the time of the shgoga, at the time of the unintended action, you didn't have the two chatichos element. Therefore, there will be an exemption from bringing an Ashram Toli. The Rebbe Mechayev. Now, this is Rebbe consistent with what he said before, that you don't need to have two pieces at the time of the violation in order to generate the Ashram Toli requirement. Another case. Ochal. He ate Shtehen B'mezid. If he ate both pieces, knowing that he was consuming something for something with each piece was something that was of possible prohibition, but he knew that he was doing something wrong, so he's exempt. Poter miklum, he doesn't bring any sacrifice. Shtehen b'shogeg, shnehen chayovim, v'hasheni lo min adin. The case where he ate both of the pieces in a state of, in an unintended fashion, he is obligated to bring two Asham Toluis. However, the second one is not something that is required by letter of the law. Eloshimato Omer Potter, if you'll say that for eating the second one he doesn't have to bring, Kovata Esarishona Bechatos, then you are in effect saying that the first one was the problematic one, and if it's so clear that the first one was problematic, then he should bring a sin offering and not an Asham Tolui. Umanu, who is the author of this source? E, Rebbe, if this were authored by Rebbe, then Min Hadin, Umin Hadin, who? This last case would not be accurately stated by saying he does not have to bring an Asham Tolui for the second one by letter of the law, because according to Rebbe, the second piece that he ate would generate an Asham Tolui by letter of the law. De'i Rabbonon, if it were according to the Rabbonon, Mishum de lo nikba Rishon Bechatos Neimole Lasheni Aisi Hulin La Azora. If it were according to the Rabbanon who require having two pieces, would you be able to say that just because the first one is, we don't want to establish the first one as requiring a chatos, that he should bring a second animal, which the Rabbanan would view as Hulin La'azora? A little elaboration on this particular objection is found in the Rabbeinu Gershom, who is on the Yud Tes, on the fourth wide line. You will see there, and I will read what Rabbeinu Gershom says. The E Rabbanan Sheni Amai Chayov, why would there be any obligation to bring an Asham Toli for the second piece? Mishum Delo Ikpa Rishon Bechatos Nemo Lasheni De Potter Aisi Chun Lazora. So that in order to avoid establishing the first one as a Chatos generator, would we tell him, well, bring a second one sort of just to cover our tracks? The Asham Tolui Didei Nami Havichulin. Even the Asham Tolui that he brings for the second one would be Chulin Da Iu Potter Mikarbon. According to the Rabbanan, he's totally exempt. So that there wouldn't be any grounds for saying, according to the Rabbanan, that he should bring a second animal, a second korban, just to cover one's tracks. Because when eating that second piece, he was, according to the Rabbanan, totally exempt. So right now, we don't have clarity on who the author of this source is. If it were according to Rebbe, So it wouldn't have phrased it as it does by saying that the second one is lo min hadin. It is yes min hadin. Could the source be according to the Rabbanan? No, it couldn't be according to the Rabbanan, because for the second piece there wouldn't be any obligation whatsoever. Therefore, we need to find out who the author of this source is. Omar Rav Ashi, and now we're at the top of Omid Beis, Rabbi Eliezer he. This source is in accordance with the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, whom we're already familiar with from today's earlier Gemara. The Omar, Rabbi Eliezer, who has said, Misnadi Vodam Oshom Toloi B'chol Yom. A person has the option of voluntarily bringing an Oshom Toloi. Hilkoch, Amrinon Lei, I see Oshom Toloi V'asni. We tell this offender who was featured in the Tanaic source, bring a second Oshom Toloi and make a Tanai, make a condition. Thusly, I Ochal Rishon Shuman, if the first piece to be eaten was Shuman, who Ochal Chelev Lehevei Kapora, then the second piece that was eaten would have been Chelev, and he therefore needs atonement for that. V'i loy, and if the first piece that he ate was in fact the Chelev, and the second piece was all right, then lehevei nedava, then let this animal that I'm bringing now to be a voluntary asham toloi. Being that Rabbi Eliezer holds that there is the potential or the option of bringing an asham toloi on a voluntary basis, this condition can be stated. Tanu Rabbanan, ochal safek chelev v'noida lo. A person ate some piece that was not clear as to it being chelev, and then it became, and then it became known to him that he ate something that was doubtful. So that, let's read that again. Ochal safek chelev v'noida lo. He ate something, and then it became known to him that he ate something doubtful. Safek chelev v'noda lo. Again, he ate a piece of something, and it was informed that what he ate was doubtful chelev. Rabbi Omer, Omer ani, kishem shemevi chatos al kol achas v'achas. If this man were to discover at the end that each one of the pieces that he ate was chelev, he would have to bring a separate sin offering for each one. Kach mevi osham toloi al kol achas viachas. Similarly, he will bring an osham toloi as kol zman, as long as it doesn't become definitive that he ate chelev, he will bring a separate osham toloi. So let's go over this first. It's called Rebbe's approach. This person was eating, and after each eating, he was informed that what he ate was sofek chelev. That's called a yediyah sofek. So each yediyah sofek generates a need for bringing an osham toloi. At the end of all of these eatings, if it became known that everything that he had eaten was in fact forbidden, he would have to bring a separate korban chatos for each one. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Ein mevi ala osham toloi echad. This person who, after each eating, was informed that what he ate was safek chelev, when he finishes all of these eatings, even though there was a discovery, a partial discovery, if you will, that what he ate was pieces that were doubtful, he brings only one asham toloi. Shinema al shigigoso asher shogag. Afilu al shigogois harbe eno chayov elo achas. the phrasing of this pasuk leads them to conclude that even for multiple offenses that were doubtful, one korban, one sacrifice is enough. Omar Rabbi Zera. We have a new marking, this crown form, new marking as far as this sugi is concerned, or this Omid Gemara is concerned. On the outside margin, we see the Nosei Mivneh heading. The crown marking features the expression Kan Shona Rebbe. Shitos Rebbe Zeiro Veresh Lakish. We'll see a crown over here, and if you go skim down six lines from the bottom of the page, you see Resh Lakish will be saying the same thing, Kan Shona Rebbe, and it goes on in the Gemara where you'll see that Resh Lakish says that which Rebbe Zeiro says over here. So the shitos of Rebbe Zeiro and Resh Lakish are presented, that Rebbe Sover Diadios Sofek Mechalkes Lechatos. A knowledge of doubt, separate points of knowledge of doubt, will be responsible for bringing multiple sin offerings. So that after, in, as we saw above, after eating each piece, he discovered that what he ate was doubtful. At the end of the day, with one revelation, he finds out that everything that he had been eating was, in fact, definite Isser. How many korban chatoses will he have to bring? So he'll bring, per eating, a separate korban chatos. And why is that? Why don't we say that one korban chatos covers everything? After all, he didn't discover after each eating that he had violated something in a definitive way. We don't have a yedias vadai that separates between each eating. Nevertheless, according to Rebbe, as Rebbe Zera and Rebbe Shlokish present him, even yedias sufek is sufficient for creating this need for a separate korban chatos. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rebbe Zera, Kan Shona Rebbe, Yedios Sufek Mechalkos Lechatos. Even awareness of doubt creates the need for a separate Korban Chatos. Rava Omar, Ein Yedios Sufek Mechalkos Lechatos. Rava disagrees and says that the mere awareness of doubt is not sufficient to create the need for bringing separate Korban Chatos at the end of the day. Ela Hochi Kotoni. So how are we to understand the source? So we have a frame around the rereading of the source above. Kishem She'im Hoisa Lo Yedia Vadai Mevi Chatos Al Kol Achas Vi Achas. Just like if a person after each eating discovered he was over, it was in violation in a definitive way of something prohibited, he would have to bring a separate korban chatos for each act. Kach im hoisa lo yedias sofek mevi oshon tolui al kol achas vachas. Likewise, the discovery that he violated something potentially, or he may have violated, there's an element of doubt. But the doubt, element of doubt is revealed after each eating. That too will mechayev him to bring a separate asham toloi. However, according to this approach, we don't see the idea of multiple sin offerings generated by separate discoveries of doubt. Oma le abaye. Now, we have a new marking, the triangle form. You'll see as we go on in the Gemara, it assumes an opposite position as we go along. In the outside margin, we have the triangle featured, and you see next to that the word ma'akav. This is an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style of the Gemara. With the point facing up, we're going to indicate that's Litovas Rebbe Zera. This will benefit Rebbe Zera's approach. And with the flip, with the point flipped over, that will be against Rebbe Zera. Omar le Abaye. Abaye addresses Rava, challenges him, and says, "V'at lo tizbara d'yadiyoy safek mechalkos l'chatois." You don't hold that awareness of doubt, the interim stages of awareness of doubt, don't eventually cause the bringing of separate chatos. The isal kadaito yidio suffik ein mechalkos lechatois vechatos achas mevi. If you are going to go like you think, that awareness of separate states of awareness of doubt don't cause multiple chatos, and that under such circumstances that we described before, he would bring only one chatos at the end. Amai mevi osham tolui al kol achas v'achas. Then why is he bringing a separate osham tolui for each awareness of the doubt? The Hotanya, we have a Tanaic source that states a general rule. Kloloi shel davar, the general rule is kol shechalukin bechatois chalukin bashamos. When there is a division or a need for multiple sin offerings, then there will be a need under the same circumstances, need for multiple korban oshams, osham toluis. And therefore, if you're suggesting that he will bring only one korban chatos when he discovers at the end that everything that he had eaten was in fact chelev, so if that's going to generate one korban chatos, then he should have been bringing only one korban osham tolui. Now a response. Omar le Rava bar Chonon le Abaye. So he turns the table, so to speak, and now poses a question to Abaye. Uledit cha di amris, according to you, who says yedios safek mechalkos lechatois, that awareness of doubt does cause separate chatos offerings. Elomeata, if that be the case, ochal kezayis chelev lifnei yom hakipurim ukezayis chelev achar yom hakipurim. If he ate an olive quantity of chelev before Yom Kippur and an olive quantity of chelev after Yom Kippur, v'yom hakipurim b'mokim osham toloi koi, and Yom Kippur stands instead of an osham toloi, so that the fact that Yom Kippur occurs between the two olive quantities that he ate, albeit within one state of lack of awareness, which we call the helem echad, but the fact that Yom Kippur occurred between the two olive quantities, that is tantamount to awareness of doubt. Hachi nami, are you going to say demevi shtei chatos, that this gentleman is going to have to bring two sin offerings? Ha behelem achas achlinun. But at the end of the day, though, he has eaten the two olive quantities in one state of lack of awareness. So I can't imagine how you, Abaye, would suggest multiple korban chatos offerings. Omar le Abaye. Abaye responds, Uman le malon di yom hakipurim mechaper afagav delo misyadale. Who is to say that Yom Kippur atones even if he is not aware? Dilma v'hu demisyadale. Maybe Yom Kippur atones only if he became aware of the offense. But where he had not yet been aware of the offense, or the suffik offense, so Yom Kippur would not be mechaper, and therefore it's all in fact one hell and one state of lack of awareness, even with Yom Kippur in the middle, being that Yom Kippur doesn't function under such circumstances as a source of atonement. Omar le Rava. Rava responds to that and says, Tarda. Tarda is an expression it's almost an insulting expression, as you can see from the different explanations of this word, but Rava says, how could you possibly say that? Tarda, one of the pshatim is, it has to do with ignorance or ignoramus. He says, hoida v'loi hoida tnan, regarding Yom Kippur's atonement capacity, the Torah makes reference to it as being able to atone whether there is knowledge of the doubt or even if there is no knowledge of the doubt. So that even if there is no knowledge of the doubt, Yom Kippur does function as an atoning mechanism. And therefore, to suggest, as you did, that Yom Kippur, the occurrence of Yom Kippur is a non-starter because he wasn't aware, that can't be argued. Therefore, the attack, we'll say, on Abaye's approach remains. The attack that Rava Bar Chonon mentioned at the end of the narrow lines where we saw that previous inverted triangle. Iko di Amri, another version. Omar le Rava Bar Chonon la Abaye. Just to review, Abaye is of the opinion, like that of Rebbe Zera, that Yedios Sofek Mechalkois Lechatois. So Rava Bar Chonon attacks Abaye and he says, Ma ilu ochal kezayis chelev shachris biyom hakipurim. Ukezayis chelev bemincha biyom hakipurim. If he ate an olive quantity in the morning hours of Yom Kippur, and an olive quantity of chelev in the afternoon hours. Hachi nami demechayev shtei chatois. Are you going to say that because there was Yom Kippur time in between the two eatings that he did, that he would have to bring two separate chatos offerings? Omar le Abaye, uman le malon diyom kippurim kol shaito mechaper. Who says that Yom Kippur offers atonement every hour as each hour goes by? Dilma kule yoima meurta. Maybe in order to achieve atonement through Yom Kippur, you need to have the entire Yom Kippur going by. And therefore, in the case that you cited, as his eating a kezayas chelev in the morning and a kezayas chelev in the afternoon, the Yom Kippur doesn't even offer atonement, and therefore it's still considered one halim. So of course he'll bring only one korban chatos, and that doesn't raise any challenge to what I said about yedia sofek mechakos lechatois. Omar le tarda, he responds the same way. How can you say that? Tanan, it says regarding Yom Kippur, Hare shebol yodo sofek avero biyom kippurim. If a person encountered an issue of doubt concerning a sin performed on Yom Kippur, afilu im chashecha, even if that sofek avero takes place close to the end of the day, potter, he will be exempt from an osham toloi shekol hayoyim mechaper. As we can see how we've dashed underlined this phrase, this is the attack, so to speak, on what Abaye was suggesting, that all of Yom Kippur, all hours of the day of Yom Kippur, offer atonement, even if it's not a complete day of Yom Kippur, even the mere hours of the day offer atonement. Therefore, as Abaye was trying to say that the act done in the morning of Sofek Avera, the doubtful sin, and the same act done later in the day, you in fact do have an atoning process that takes place in the middle, and the objection of Rava Bar Chanan on Abaye would stand, that how could you possibly suggest that he would bring two separate chatos for two acts done in one state of lack of awareness. Mosiv Rav Idi Bar Ovin. Here we have just note the structure of this Gemara is, here you have the inverted triangle continues. In other words, the last one was an objection to the approach taken by Abaye, who also represented Rebbe Zera. And this too continues in the same vein. And it's a long question, attacking the approach of Rebbe Zera. Mosiv Rav Idi Bar Ovin. Ochal v'shosa behelem echas, eino chayov elo chatas achas. If he ate and drank on Yom Kippur, even if he did two acts of that are forbidden in Yom Kippur, an eating and a drinking, but he did it in one state of lack of awareness. So it says here he's chayov only one korban chatas.
V'ha bein achila l'shtiyev shetelo havisheus b'yom demisyadalei.
between the eating and the drinking, you can't eat and drink at the same time. So there had to be some gap in time between the two, during which he could have known about his offense. And he does achieve atonement. Yom Kippur b'mokam asham toli koi. Yom Kippur is in place of or instead of an asham toli, so that you have two acts committed with in effect atonement that is the equivalent of the bringing of an asham toli. The katoni einu chayav elo chatas achas. And it says in this source that even though there was a break between the eating and the drinking, he's chayav only one korban chatos. If you think like Rabbi Zeira says, yedios sofek mechalkos lichatos, that awareness of doubt serves to separate and require an additional or individual korban chatos offerings, so lichayav shtei chatos, this person should be chayav two sin offerings, one for the eating and then one for the drinking, being that there was this gap between, whether you call it yedios sofek, or you call it the bringing of an asham tolui, or it be, as in this case, the atonement afforded by Yom Kippur. Response. Amri. Ki Omar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira's din, that yedios sofek mechalkos lechatos, that's le Rebbe. That's according to Shitas Rebbe. Ha, this source with the ochal v'shosa and bringing only one korban chatos, rabbonon he. This is in accordance with the rabbonon. Now, this reference to Rebbe and the rabbonon. Well, Rebbe we saw above on the upper part of the page, where he said that just like you bring a separate chatos for each action where there was a yediyah between each sin, so too you bring an asham tolui when there is a yediyah between each asham tolui. So this is in accordance with Rebbe, that did place a premium on yediyos sofek mechalkos. Let's just say that again a little more accurately. According to Rebbe, if one committed he committed an act of sofek chatos, in other words, he ate something like doubtful chelev, and then became aware that he ate something doubtful, and again, this repeated again and again, and at the end of the day, he discovered that everything that he had eaten was in fact real chelev, so he'll bring separate chatos. So that this source that we just saw above, with Ochal V'Shasa, with Yom Kippur, with some Yom Kippur minutes intervening, and in fact offering him atonement, that source is not according to Rebbe. That source is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that we saw on the upper part of the page, that hold Ein Yedio Safek Mechalkos L'chatois. The Gemara asks, Ha mi de seifa Rebbe he, but from the fact that the seifa of this source of ochal v'shasa is in fact according to Rebbe. If we skip the brackets for a moment, you could see it's three lines that we're going over. We're skipping Resha Nami Rebbe. That's the heart of the question. From the fact that the Seifa of the Ochal V'Shasa case is in accordance with Rebbe, the Resha is also, it is Rebbe. So you can't deflect the question by saying that this source is not in accordance with Rebbe. Let's go over the bracketed section in which we will see how the Seifa is according to Rebbe. The Seifa says, Dikotoni, the beginning of the bracketed section, Shasa Tzir or Murias, if a person on Yom Kippur, he drank brine or Murias, these are substances that a person that isn't designed for drinking, and he drank it. Potter, he is exempt from a Yom Kippur violation, but we can infer from this, Ha Chaymetz Chayav. The inference is what we have to emphasize. If one drank vinegar, though, that would generate the need for a korban chatos on Yom Kippur. That would constitute a Yom Kippur violation. Umani Rebbe Hi. This idea or this inference is in accordance with Rebbe. Disanya Choymetz Ein Meshiv Es HaNefesh. Rebbe Omer, Omer Ani, Choymetz Meshiv Es HaNefesh. Regarding the consumption of Chometz, so the first opinion, which is not what we have to emphasize, it says Ein Meshiv Es HaNefesh. It doesn't restore a good feeling to a person. We're talking about a person who's fasting, of course. We're talking about Yom Kippur. Rebbe, on the other hand, says that chometz, the drinking of chometz, is meshiv es hanefesh. It does restore a good feeling, so it would fall into the category of a beverage, and hence constitute a Yom Kippur violation. So we continue reading, umi de seifa Rebbe, since the seifa of the ochal v'shasa source above is according to Rebbe, and we just prove that through the inference from the seifa, reisha nami Rebbe, the reisha, which was the citation we made above of ochal v'shasa ben echad, on Yom Kippur and Nisayinu Chayv Elochatas Achas, that too is in accordance with Rebbe. So that which he attempted to deflect with the, if you'll notice, the last upright triangle was the attempt to defend Rebbe Zera's position by saying that the source that was raised as a challenge is not according to Rebbe. No, the source raised as a challenge is according to Rebbe. And even though Rebbe holds he places a premium on Yediyah Suffolk, nevertheless he brings only one Korban Chatos. The Gemara responds, Amri, Seifa Rebbe. The Seifa involving the inference regarding the vinegar, that is in accordance with Rebbe. Reisha, however, that mentions he's chayav only one korban chatos, that's according to the Rabbanon, namely Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon, that disagreed with Rabbi. So that you have a source that is really authored by two different authorities. Esve Rava. You notice again an inverted triangle, a challenge to Rabbi Zera. Ochal hayoim, ochal lemochar. A person ate something of hegdish, which is a, in this case, he ate something worth half a pruta of something sanctified today, and another half pruta being the small, a pruta is the smallest form of currency, of mammon, and in this case he ate two half quantities of two half quantity values of hegdish, of chatzi pruta. Likewise, nene hayoim nene lemocher, or something that's not edible but that one can benefit from. So he benefited from hektish, something sanctified today, and likewise the next day, ochal hayoim nene lemocher, or he ate something today worth a chatzi pruta and benefited the next day, nene hayoim ochal lemocher, or vice versa, afilu mikan viat shalosh shanim, or even if it's over a period of 3 years, meaning a long time lapses between the first half pruta of benefit and the second half pruta of benefit, but it's all within one state of lack of awareness. Minayin shehein mitstarfin zeimzeh, from where do we know that they join up to equal a full pruta of forbidden benefit that this person received from hektish? Tamad lomar timul ma'al riba. This is a quote from the Pasuk, where you have this double expression in the Pasuk, which indicates that there will be mi'ila. This is the violation of benefiting unlawfully from hektish. That includes even this case. V'amai, why is there tziruf? Why is there this joining up of the two half putas? Ha-kipur ole yom ha-kipurim. But in the interim, there was Yom Kippur, and does that not actually afford atonement, create atonement? Rashi says, Ha-kipur olav yom ha-kipurim, shebein time, that was in the middle, achatzi shiur kamo, regarding the half quantity that he did initially, that he violated initially, the yediyoy safek mechalkois, if it were so, like Rabbi Zera claimed that awareness of doubt causes individual bringing of separate sacrifices, ho-havi yom ha-kipurim kidiyah safek, the presence, the occurrence of Yom Kippur is tantamount, is the equivalent of becoming aware of a doubt. In so far is that Yom Kippur has this atonement capacity. V'amai mitzdarfin, if you have an awareness between two half quantities, that splits them up, just like when you're dealing with full quantities, it creates individuality. Here, when you're dealing with half quantities, it creates individuality. A half on this side of Yom Kippur and the other half on the other side of Yom Kippur shall not join up. And yet it says in this case that they do. That is a that would constitute a challenge to the Rebbe Zera approach. So he answers, Amri, Ki mechaper Yom HaKippurim al Isura. Yom Kippur does offer atonement for matters of that which is forbidden, a violation of the prohibited, that it atones for. However, alma moino lo mechaper, but for financial obligations, it doesn't offer atonement. And therefore, it's as if it's not there, and therefore, the two half quantities of money value do join up. V'i boyasema, another approach, ki mechaper yom hakippurim, when does Yom Kippur offer atonement? Al kule shiur, when you have a full quantity. In other words, only if something is of significance, then Yom Kippur can come along and offer atonement. However, al palga de shiura lo mechaper, on a partial quantity, Yom Kippur does not offer atonement, and therefore, we can say it's as if the Yom Kippur isn't there. And therefore, the two half quantities do join up. There's nothing blocking them from tziruf. We have a semicolon here because we're in the same sukkah, but this is not a continuous flow, but we already mentioned what the point of this upcoming Gemara is. You can see with the crown shape again. This refers back to that which was mentioned way up on the page. We have a little arrow also to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text to help you align where this is from. V'chein omar reish lokish. Kan shona rebi. Yedios safek mechalkos lechatois. Reish Lakish says, like Rebbe Zera said, that based on this, on the source that we had above, the first Tanaic source quoted on the page, Rebbe says, based on this, Yedio Safek Mechalkos Lechatois. And we explained that earlier, that if a person had a series of Safek violations, doubt violations, after each violation he became aware that what he did was a doubtful sin. And then after this repeated itself a number of times, he became aware that everything that he ate was in fact a real sin, that it was real chelev. He brings multiple chatos. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and he takes the same approach that Rava took above. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Ein yedio safek mechalkos lechatos. Ela, if that be the case, then how do you read the source above? Hachi katani, you read the source thusly. And this rereading, by the way, is the same as we saw above. Kishem she'im hoysala yadiya vadai, just like if a person had awareness between actions of a definite violation, mevi al kol achas ve'achas, he will bring a korban chatos. The Girsa adds the word here, maybe chatos, al kol achas ve'achas. Kach im hoysolo yedias sofek, so too, if he has an awareness of doubt, maybe osham tolui al kol achas ve'achas. He'll bring a separate osham tolui for each consumption, or for each awareness of doubt. However, this is not to say that if there was individual awarenesses of doubt, and then a subsequent discovery of everything have been actual sin, that will generate multiple sin offerings. Here we're talking only about the initial stages of awareness of doubt, which generates for each one a separate osham toloi. As the Gemara goes on, the Gemara analyzes in this coming line, language-wise, which of the two opinions is more realistic. Bishlamo l'Rabbi Yochanan, things work out better for Rabbi Yochanan. Hainu deka toli le'osham bechatos. the source was comparing the Osham Toli to the Chatos. In other words, the primary example is the Chatos, and being compared to the Chatos is the Osham Toli. Well, that's how Rabbi Yochanan read the source. So that when you, in the original source, when it said, Kishem Shemevi Chatos, Kach Mevi Osham Toli, the source was presenting as the primary discussion the Chatos, and we said, just like you bring a Chatos for each awareness of a definite sin, so too you bring an Asham Toloi for each awareness of doubtful sin. So as far as Rabbi Yochanan's reading is concerned, things are very smooth. Elol Reish Lakish, but according to Reish Lakish's approach, Chatos be'Asham miboyalei. Let's glance at Rashi. In the Dibur HaMasel, Hainu D'Toli, Rashi says, Hainu D'Toli L'Oshem B'Chatos. First, Rashi goes over Rabbi Yochanan, showing how it is smooth. T'Kishem Shim Hoisi Yediyah V'Adoyis B'Entayim. Just like if he had interim awarenesses of definite sin, Hoisa Mechalekis L'Chatos, he would bring a separate Chatos for each sin committed before the awareness. T'Chtiv Oy Hoida Elov Chatoso. That's what the Pasuk says, that with the awareness of the sin, upon the awareness of the sin, he brings a sin offering. Kach yidia safek mechalekis la'asham osu mevi osham toli al kol achas v'achas. So too, the interim awareness of doubt concerning possibly having sin generates a separate osham toli. Elo l'Reish Lakish, but according to Reish Lakish's approach, chatos be'osham iboyalei l'misli. Namely, Kishem Shiadias Safek Michalekis Le'ashamos, just like the interim awareness of doubt generates a separate korban osham toli being brought each time, Kach Michalekis Lechatos, so too that awareness of doubt concerning the osham toli will eventually generate the need for individual korban chatas offerings. Ukshivoda lo bachroni yovi chatas al kol achas v'achas. The source for awareness of doubt is stated in the Torah regarding the korban osham. So as far as Reish Lakish's approach, primary emphasis should have been placed on the korban osham, and the awareness of doubt concerning the korban osham was that which generated the need for individual chatas offerings eventually. So the order of this original source should have placed an emphasis on the osham, osham toli. So this problem remains kasha. This remains as a technical difficulty for Reish Lakish's approach. The Gemara now raises a seeming contradiction within comments made of Rabbi Yochanan here and elsewhere, and comments of Reish Lakish made here and elsewhere. V'rami de Rabbi Yochanan de Rabbi Yochanan, v'rami de Reish Lakish ad Reish Lakish. You'll notice, by the way, that we have a long question marking that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And we also have a topic heading that accompanies this. We ought to look at the nosei, the topic heading on the outside margin, under which we've written, Diyun b'chashivusa shel yediyah safek. There'll be a discussion concerning the significance of awareness of doubt. One, Bachilas Chelev, with regard to the eating of the forbidden Chelev substance. And number two, Betumas Mikdash, and with regard to the entrance to the Beis Hamikdash. Kegon B'mikre Shel Shnei Shvilim, like is witnessed in the case of the two paths. We'll be talking about two roads or pathways under which one of them there is a dead body that has been buried. And a corpse communicates ritual impurity to he who walks over it, even if it happens to be buried under the ground. So we'll talk about a person walking on these paths, and in the course of his walking on these paths, he eventually goes into the Beis Hamikdash. So there's an element of tumah and entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. We're speaking right now in general terms. HaGemara Tale Kushyo. The Gemara will raise a question. Nireshi Stira B'divrei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. There will appear to be a contradiction in the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and within the opinion of Reish Lakish. 1. Be'inyin yediyas safek v'achilas chelev. The Rabbi Yochanan yediyas safek eino ki yediyah. With regard to Rabbi Yochanan, awareness of having eaten doubtful chelev is not considered a real yediyah. It's not considered a significant level of knowledge. The Reish Lakish have a yediyah. Aliba, the Rebbe. According to Reish Lakish, awareness of doubt, someone having become aware that he ate something doubtful, does have significance as far as Rebbe's version of Reish Lakish's version of Rebbe. The second category, Ubeinyan Tumas Mikdash, Royin Bedaf Yud Tes Amar Aleph, regarding Tumas Mikdash, we will see on Daf Yud Tes Amar Aleph, that the Rabbi Yochanan Yediyas Safek Havek Yediyah, awareness of doubt, does have significance. And that's according to Rabbi Yochanan, who just a moment before in our introduction we saw said otherwise. And likewise, the Rabbi Reish Lakish Lo Moikim Hamokar Shoshne Shvilim Karebi V'yoymar Dehave Yediyah. And Reish Lakish will not set up the source involving the two pathways like Rebbe and say that it is considered a yediyah. Whereas we saw before Reish Lakish pointing out that according to Rebbe, yediyas safek is considered a yediyah. So Reish Lakish would have had ample opportunity to set up this source involving the Shnei Shvilim that features yediyas safek and say, well, it's according to Rebbe. But he doesn't do that. So now we turn to the Gemara, three lines from the bottom. V'rami d'Rabbi Yochanan ad Rabbi Yochanan. We can raise a seeming contradiction within statements of Rabbi Yochanan. V'rami d'Reish Lakish ad Reish Lakish. And likewise within Reish Lakish, a seeming contradiction. D'Sanya, we have a Tanaic source that begins and goes till the second line from the top of Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. We will also have to note that this long question is actually quite a long question. It goes down till the second wide line on Yutes Amid Aleph. Well, the source begins, the Sanya, Shnei Shvilin. There are two pathways, Echot Tomei Vechot Tohor. One has Tuma under it, and the other is not. And we don't know which one is which. The holach berishon velo nichnas, he went on the first path and didn't go into the Beis HaMikdash. B'sheni v'nichnas, and then he walked on the second path, and after walking on the second path, he then did enter the Beis HaMikdash. Chayav, he will be obligated to bring a sacrifice for entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah, because whichever way you look at it, this is a situation where there is definite tumah. We just don't know under which path. But he then enters the Beis HaMikdash after having walked on both paths, so he is a tumah person walking into the Beis HaMikdash, generating the need for a sacrifice. Holach Barisha v'nichnas. He walked on the first path. Again, we don't know which path is Tomei, but he walked on the first path and went into the Beis HaMikdash. V'hiza v'shon of Tovah, he then achieved, he went through the process that cleanses, that removes a purification from the defilement to the dead. That's hiza v'shon, that's a sprinkling on the third and seventh day of the week that he waits, the sprinkling of the Torah Aduma water. And Tovah, he immerses himself in a mikveh. And then, what did he do after going through the purification process? V'holach b'sheni, then walked on the second path, v'nichnas, and entered the Beis HaMikdash, chayov. He will be obligated to bring a sacrifice. Rashi adds, at the end, he says, b'sheni v'nichnas, u'b'chnisoso b'sheni, nelmo mimenu tumo d'kniso rishono. When he went into the Beis HaMikdash after having walked on the second path, he forgot about his having walked on the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash as a result of the first path. In other words, he forgot the tuma that he had experienced as a result of the first path, or the sofek tuma. Rabbi Shimon poter bezu. Rabbi Shimon says that here he will be exempt. This is the first version of Rabbi Shimon. And the Rashi at the top says, Rav Shimon Poter Bezu, Dishnei Tumos Ninho. This, in effect, are really two separate cases of Tumah. Akol Chado V'Chado Knisa Ikol Ameima, regarding each entrance that he made to the Beis HaMikdash, you could say Shvil Zehu HaTor. This path happened to be, maybe this path was the Tor. V'Ilkoch Leko Yediyo Vadoyis B'Tchila. Before his entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, he was not aware. He didn't have a Yediyo Vadoyis. He didn't have an awareness of definite Tumah. When you're dealing with this realm called Tumas Mikdash, you need to have awareness before the entrance that a Tuma problem arose. And then upon entering, he forgets. That's the He'elem. He forgets. And then after leaving the basement, she then remembers that he had encountered a Tuma problem. And in this case, you don't have the Yediyo Betchila. Rashi goes on to say, "V'tanakama de mechayev meforsh tamei lekamon." The Tanakama, who said that he is chayev, even in this case, will be that reason will be explained later. And the source goes on with Rabbi Shimon ben Yuda, "Poter bekulon mishum Rabbi Shimon." Rabbi Shimon ben Yuda says that in all of these cases there is exemption, and he says that in the name of Rabbi Shimon. So we have two versions of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara asks, "Vafilu b'komaisa." Are you going to say that even in the first case there is exemption? How could you possibly say that? In the first case, you have a person walked on path number one, didn't enter the Beis HaMikdash, then walked on path number two. After having walked on both paths, he then enters the Beis HaMikdash. How could someone say regarding that case that they would be exempt from a sacrifice? So what is the meaning of this Poter Bekulon? Omar Rava Hocha B'mayaskinon. The following is the case in which there will be a machlokus between the Tanakama of Reb Shimon, the number one approach, and the number two approach. What is the case? Kagon Shaholach Barishon. He walked on the first path. Ubishas Hilucho B'sheni. And when he walked on the second path, Shochach Shaholach Barishon, he forgot that he was ever on the first path. And then he entered the Beis HaMikdash. Taking a look at Rashi, Shochach Shalach Berishon, V'afal gav de tumah vadoyis hi, even though this person is definitely tameh, Miha lekel amiksas hayadia, there is, however, only partial awareness, the Shochach es Rishon, he forgot his walking on the first path. Ubeha pligi, Hani Trei Tanoi Alibud Rabbi Shimon. And the following is the basis of the machlokas of these two Tanoim within the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Number one is Tanakama Li Rabbi Shimon Lo Potro Elo Bebas Raisa. The Tanakama of Rabbi Shimon will offer exemption only in the last case, where we saw the person had actually achieved Tara after having walked on the first path. So in that case, the Tanakama of Shimon, only in that case will he say there is exemption from sacrificial obligation. The Ilu Bekomaisa, in the first case, Kevon Demimon of Shach Iko Yediyas Tuma Vadoyis Shaholach Bishnehem, in the case that Rashi featured before, there is a definite tumah here, even though there's only partial awareness, because after all is said and done, he did walk on both paths. Afa pishe shochach shoch berishon, afilochi mixas yediyah ki yediyah vavile yediyah betchila. Nevertheless, the partial yediyah that he has is awareness that he had walked on the second path and then entered the Beis HaMikdash with that awareness. That is enough. Avo bebasraisa, in the second case of the Braisa, Leko Yediya Tuma Vadoyis. There is no awareness of Tuma Vadoyis. Now, we go back to the Gemara, which says that which we just saw in the Rashi. Omar Rava Hocha B'Me'askinon, on the third line from the top of the Gemara, Kigon Shaholach B'Rishon, he walked on a first path, U'B'Shasilucho B'Sheni, and when he was walking on the second path, Shochach Sholach Berishon. He forgot that he walked on the first path. Ubaha Pligi. Tanakama Sovar, the first opinion that holds that he is chayav to bring a sacrifice, Miksas, he holds that Miksas Yediyah Ki Yediyah Damya. The fact that he had only partial awareness is considered enough, is considered like full awareness. And therefore, he's obligated to bring a sacrifice. Rabbi Shimon, who exempted Savar Miksas Yediyah, Lav Ki Yediyah Damya, is not considered awareness. At this point, the Gemara states that which we had just learned, and then goes over the opinions of, will then present Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, how they deal with this. And then we will raise the question that we mentioned earlier concerning the seeming contradiction within Rabbi Yochanan and the seeming contradiction within Reish Lakish. So the Gemara goes on. Omar Mar. This is a quote. There's a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with an indication to look at Yud Ches Amud Beis if you want to see where this quote is coming from. Holach barishon v'nichnas v'hizah v'shon v'toval. He walked on the first path, then went through the purification process, and v'holach b'sheni v'nichnas, and then he walked on the second path and entered the Beis HaMikdash chayav. He has to bring a sacrifice, because at the end of the day, we have a person that had experienced an encounter with Tuma. Well, the Gemara asks, "Amai Chayev? Why should he be Chayev to bring a sacrifice for Tumas Mikdash? Ha lo havi le yediyah. He doesn't have an awareness of Tuma." When he walked on the second path, we don't have an awareness. We don't have an awareness of definite tumah over here. Then, when he walked on the first path, likewise, he only had walked on one path and immediately went into the Beis HaMikdash. There wasn't an awareness of tumah, and yet he is chayav. Omar Reish Lakish, ha mani Rabbi Yishmael hi, delo boi yediyah betchila. Reish Lakish says this Tanaic source is according to the Tanaic opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, who doesn't require an initial awareness of Tuma. That even without that initial awareness of Tuma, there is a sacrificial obligation that is generated. Rabbi Yochanan Omar afilu teimo Rabbanan. You can say that this source is even in accordance with the Rabbanan. Kan osu suffik yediyah ki yediyah. Here they're viewing the awareness of doubt. After all, there is a doubt concerning the paths. Each path is doubtful. It might be tomei. So they are viewing the yediyah suffik like a real yediyah, real point of awareness. Salka daitoch. There is an assumption that we're making in order to go on in the Gemara that kan osu vuadin l'chol haTorah kula. That here, suffek yediyah is like a real yediyah, and likewise, with regard to all other areas of the Torah, a suffek yediyah is like a yediyah. Well, that's a big surprise for Rabbi Yochanan to say that. Kashya de Rabbi Yochanan de Rabbi Yochanan. Kashya de Reish Lakish ad Reish Lakish. First, in looking at and focusing on Rabbi Yochanan, before Rabbi Yochanan had said that suffek yediyah is not considered like a yediyah. And here he is saying that the suffik yediyah is like a yediyah. Where did Rabbi Yochanan say this before? If you recall, we had mentioned that there was a person who violated multiple suffik chatos offenses, which he ate something that was suffik chalev and then became aware of that, and again ate something suffik chalev and became aware of that. When he becomes aware at the end that everything was chalev, Rabbi Yochanan says he doesn't bring multiple chatos. The suffik yediyah is not like a real yediyah that would have generated multiple offerings. And yet here he's saying that the suffik yediyah that he has concerning the path does generate the need for bringing a sacrifice. Likewise, Kashya de Reish Lakish ad Reish Lakish, we have a problem in Reish Lakish. Why doesn't Reish Lakish simply say
instead of what he said a few lines up where we underlined his name and indicated number one, why didn't he simply say that this source was according to Rebbe, that says Yediyah's suffix is like a Vadai Yediyah? Why does he set it up like Rebbe Yishmael? So the Gemara goes on and says, Bishlam under Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan lo kashi. As far as what we thought might be a contradiction within Rabbi Yochanan, there is no problem. Kan asu, with regard to the realm of Tumas Mikdash, ritual impurity and the base Hamikdash, they viewed, or they the Torah considers Yediyah Safek like a real Yediyah. B'chola Torah kula lo, but regarding all other areas of Torah and sin, we don't say that the Yediyah Safek is like a Yediyah. My Taima, why make a distinction? Hocha Gabi Tuma Ksiv, here with regard to Tuma, the Torah says, V'nerilam mimenu v'hu tomei. That it escaped from the offender, his Tuma, and yet he was tomei. Yediyah di'is bonami Safek chayav kra. This pasuk is telling us, even a yediyah like this, where there's v'ne'elam, meaning there's an element of doubt, ne'elam, something was hidden from him, which indicates doubt, it still generates the need for a sacrifice. That's with regard to the Beis HaMikdash and the realm of Tumah and Beis HaMikdash. Avol b'chol ha'Torah kula. But with regard to all other areas of Torah, Ksiv, it says, Oy hoida elov chataso. That his sin became known to him. If he has awareness, then he has to bring a sin offering. And if he doesn't have awareness, it wouldn't generate the need for a sin offering. In other words, awareness of mere doubt is not enough to generate a sin offering. Elo l'Reish Lakish Kashya, but according to Reish Lakish, we have this difficulty. Ademoikim lo k'Rebbe Yishmael, instead of setting up the source involving the two paths, like Rebbe Shmuel Lukmo Karebi, he could have just as easily set it up like Rebbe, in accordance with the whole approach that Reish Lakish took to Rebbe on Omid Aleph, on Yud Ches Omid Beis, on our previous Omid. The Gemara answers for Reish Lakish, Ha Komash Malon. Thusly, he is teaching us, the Rebbe Shmuel Nami Lo Boy Yediya Batchila, that Rabbi Shmuel does not require awareness beforehand. The Gemara asks, is that what I need? I need Reish Lakish to tell me that that's Shitas Rabbi Shmuel? That in the realm of Tumas Mikdash B'Kadoshav, you don't have to have Yediyah at the outset? Ha'amas Nisani, that exists, that information exists already in a Mishnah. This not Rabbi Shmuel Omer, V'ne'elam Shtei Pa'omim. The Torah repeats the word V'ne'elam twice. L'chayev al helem tumo v'al helem mikdash, to inform us that there will be a sacrificial obligation if one experienced tuma but was unaware of the tuma, only became aware later on. Likewise, if one was unaware that he was entering the Beis HaMikdash, he knew he was tumei but he was unaware that it was the Beis HaMikdash, that too would generate a sacrificial obligation. Anyway, the point for us is that as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, we would know his opinion that you don't require Yediyah Betchila from this Tanaic source. What, therefore, do I need Reish Lakish for? Itzterich. I need Reish Lakish. Sagadai Dechamino, had I had just this source, mi craw less lay, that from the Pasuk standpoint, Rabbi Shmuel wouldn't require a Yediyah Batchila. However, I would have thought mi Gemara islay. Gemara is an indication of an oral tradition. Based on an oral tradition, he does require a Yediyah Batchila. Komash Malon, so Reish Lakish informs us that no, that under no circumstances does Rabbi Shmuel require a Yediyah Batchila, even with when it comes to the realm of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.